Welcome to the Luminous Podcast, weekly meditations, readings, and blessings to assist with our rest, peace, and spiritual wellness. You can find out more at luminousanglican.com.
Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful to you for this day. We're thankful to you for this place, where at any given moment, your light shines through an image of the Good Shepherd into this blessed sanctuary. Lord, we pray for the one who preaches today, that you would forgive him his sins. Lord, we pray that you would protect this sermon from his agenda, from his politics, from his biases, from the things he's wrong about that he doesn't even know he's wrong about yet. And that today we would only see Jesus and hear Jesus and feel Jesus and know Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Easter's overwhelming, isn't it? Easter's too much. And the Acts passage that you so eloquently read, Dan, I don't think it's the most preached on passage in this town. Or, okay, oh, come on. Can we talk? And it's probably not the most preached on passage anywhere. So we'll preach on it today. God help us all. In her book, The Very Good Gospel, African-American author and activist Lisa Sharon Harper, and if you haven't read Lisa Sharon Harper, leave here today and order all of her books. But she tells the story, I always mess up this, I even looked up the pronunciation, so I'll do the best I can. Dahlonega, there it is. She tells the story of Dahlonega, Georgia, the site of the first American gold rush. Do you know the story? Dahlonega was Cherokee land and had been for nearly 13,000 years. The Cherokee Nation had signed a dozen treaties with the United States between 1795 and 1819 in attempts to protect the land and the people. The 1820s were actually a time of great promise and hope for the Cherokee Nation and for other indigenous peoples. In that decade, the nation developed its own written syllabary, drafted its own constitution, even established its own capital city called New Echota in Georgia. But in 1828, a little Cherokee boy found gold. That same year, Georgia began passing laws stripping the Cherokees of their lands and their rights. Miners moved in without permission. They set up camps on Cherokee territory. And in 1830, President Andrew Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act. At the same time, the state of Georgia divided the Cherokee Nation's land into lots for miners. In 1831, the Supreme Court intervened in defense of the Cherokee Nation, but to no avail. By the end of 1838, and in defiance of the United States Supreme Court, can you imagine that? President Jackson's policies had resulted in the removal of nearly 46,000 Cherokee, Chickasaw, Creek, Choctaw, and Seminole men, women, and children. Human beings made in God's image, removed. The illegal deportation cleared 25 million acres of land for white settlement, mining, and ultimately slavery. The United States branch mint at Dahlonega opened for business and produced its first gold coins the same year, 1838. just 10 years after a little Cherokee boy found gold. We'll come back to this in a minute. Let's take a breather. I grew up in Chattanooga. Ever been to Chattanooga? It's a cool place. It's surrounded by water. You can stop and fish anywhere. And we lived in East Ridge and Red Bank, and I lived in Harrison. I was actually born in Birchwood, Tennessee. So I'm as country and as redneck as you get. Right? My wife says no. I don't know how I missed all that, but I was around it, I promise. I can't skin a buck, and I can't run a trot line, and I'm probably not the country boy that can survive. But I've always, since I was a little kid, loved music. I got my first guitar when I was 16. I was actually in a Christian band in Chattanooga. I was actually in two Christian bands in Chattanooga, and we were really, really bad. And we weren't bad because it was a Christian band. We were bad just because we weren't that good. But our names were especially provocative as I think about them. The first one is not as bad as the second one, Penitent's Cry. You know, because we wanted to spread joy everywhere we went. But the second one was a little more, I don't know, it was called Planned Eternity. Would you like to plan yours? Come to our show. Well, in addition to playing in a Christian band, I was also a huge fan of contemporary Christian music. And I don't mean I listened to the radio station and thought Michael W. Smith was cool. I had a subscription to Contemporary Christian Music magazine, and I knew when I got off the bus, probably it was going to be there because I timed it out. I went to all the Christian shows, even ones I didn't really like, but there weren't many coming to our town, so I went. On Saturday nights on the Moody Station, they played 1 hour of Christian rock. And so I hid from my grandparents, illegally got cookies, and had my clandestine party of Christian music. It was awesome. In addition to that, while I listened to a lot of great music too, because I know in this room I'm probably touching some people, but in addition to that, I had this wonderful air guitar baseball bat. It was a 33-inch Louisville Slugger, and I had a mirror that I would look at while I played this stuff, because I was practicing for eventual stadium shows and world tours. It was fun. I broke up with contemporary Christian music in 95 because I also broke up with God in 1995 and became a pretty strong agnostic, though Jesus was always whispering in my ear, and I could not ever badmouth Jesus or let him go. But it was fun being an agnostic. It was fun to tell people and watch their faces. So, still, even though I'd broken up with contemporary Christian music, every now and then there were people that I would return to, like Susan Ashton and Jennifer Knapp and the choir, but there was none more provocative to me than Rich Mullins. Still, he's still on my playlists, all over the place. I still remember September 19, 1997, the day he was killed in a car wreck. And I remember when I heard the news, I was 21 years old at the time in my grandparents' house, sitting on the couch and crying my eyes out. And I remember thinking, wait, I don't do this. Believe it or not, there was a time I didn't cry as much as I do now. About 20 years, actually. What's wrong with me? There was plenty wrong with me, still is. But crying, of course, is not something that's wrong with me. Crying is one of the most cleansing things that you can do for the spirit. Why do I bring Rich Mullins up? Well, it's because of one song in particular that came out in 1992. I was 15 and a half when this song came out. And yes, I thought immediately that's the same age as Nate. And the song's called Every Man. Anyone know this song? Every Man. I hesitate to read song lyrics because when you read song lyrics without the music, it's kind of like poetry with a limp, because the music is the crutch. But we're going to do this anyway. Listen to this song by Rich Mullins that came out in 1992. This still has grooves on my soul that were formed during this time. Well, he was out on a limb. He was sitting in the shade. He'd led 100 men and lived alone among the graves. He had 1,000 questions and 1,000,000 heartaches. He was every man. She was caught in a sin. She knew the well was so deep. She threw her last pennies in and poured oil upon his feet. She touched the garment's hem. She'd only been asleep. She was every man. And the Lord looks down and he understands. The world draws up its lines, but at the foot of the cross, there is room for everyone. And love that is not blind. It can look at who we are and still see beyond the differences we find. With thorns in his hand and in his brow and a spear in his side, nails in his hands, he died for you and I, for you and I and every man. He had nets to mend. He gave his fish and his loaves. He had to wash his hands and ran away without his robe. He couldn't understand until on Damascus Road, he was every man. She brought the world a lamb and took warning from a dream. From an empty tomb she ran, for her children she would weep. In her womb a baby danced, she had been waiting for a king. She was every man. And the Lord looks down and he understands, the world draws up its lines. But at the foot of the cross, there is room for everyone. Gosh, I can't wait to meet Rich Mullins. I met him once, but I can't wait to talk to him after the reconciliation of all things. Every man, everyone, every person, every single human being is an object of the love of God. There is only one category of human being, and that category is loved by God. This captured my young imagination. The message was and is congruent with the life and the teachings of Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed, but outside these walls, we are invited to see our neighbors as enemies. We are invited to see those different from us as people to be feared, to see other races and classes of people as inferior. Outside these walls, we are invited to just go with the flow of business as usual. And it's so easy to fall into, isn't it? Because like Bruce Hornsby once quipped, that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. Ah, but then he sings, but don't you believe them. Our Acts passage today is a doozy. Let's read it together again. This is Acts chapter 4. Here's our passage today. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Oof. What in the world had happened to these people to make them behave this way? Jesus had happened to them. Easter had happened to them. The gospel had happened to them. His life, his teachings, his touch, his eyes, his presence, his sacrifice, his resurrection. It was a 1 John passage we could have also read. We were given 2 epistle readings today. And I read through all of the passages over and over and over and over again. And I came up with a medley of phrases that really struck me. These are all from today's readings. One in heart and mind. Grace was so powerfully at work in them. We have heard. We have seen with our eyes. Our hands have touched. Our joy is complete. In Him, there is no darkness. He is the atoning sacrifice for the whole cosmos. Three times, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Forgive sins. If you don't, they won't be forgiven. I'm sending you. Life is in His name. After having been with Jesus, the early followers saw no other way to inhabit this world. Easter did them in. It's all true. We really are loved, valuable, worth it, seen, wanted. We really are here for each other. They knew it. They saw Him. They held His hand. They laid down on His lap. They ate with Him. They saw how He treated everyone. They couldn't believe it. To see Him was to be transformed. We really are meant to be one humanity, reflecting and receiving unimaginable love and togetherness and warmth and generosity. Remember Jesus' last will and testament, where He defines shalom as everyone is fed. Everyone is fed. He said, I was hungry, and you gave me food. Everyone's thirst is quenched. He said, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Everyone is worth understanding and housed and cared for. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, Jesus says. Everyone is worth being clothed and warm. I was naked. And you clothed me, Jesus says. Everyone is worth love and forgiveness and friendship, even if we really mess it up. Because Jesus says, I was in prison, and you came, and you visited me, and you saw me, and you loved me. And everyone, yes, everyone is worth having their health cared for, because Jesus says, I was sick and you took care of me. Easter changed everything. Easter is still changing everything. German theologian Jürgen Moltmann has a wonderful book he wrote, I think it was in 73 the first time, called The Crucified God. Where's Mark Bird? There we go. We'll do that one day. But Jürgen Moltmann says this in The Crucified God. And as you listen to this, I want you, in your mind's eye, to gaze at the crucified Christ. Because remember what Paul says. In this meal, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Jürgen Moltmann says, whatever can stand before the face of the crucified Christ is true Christian theology. What cannot stand there must disappear. This is especially true of what we say about God. Is there anything in your life that occupies your time, or my life that occupies my time, that we would not put before the face of the crucified Christ? I have tons in my life. My own agendas, my own political whatevers. Would I talk in front of the crucified Christ about any of that? Good heavens, no! In front of the crucified Christ, who is pouring out His love for me, there's only one thing I want to do, is turn around and pour out His love and my love for others. No matter who they are, where they are, what they look like, who they love. That is why we are here. If you haven't ever picked up the First Nations version of the New Testament, it is translated by Indigenous peoples. And I read this to Chad before the service. The word for Jesus in the First Nations version is Creator sets free. That's what they call Jesus. And this is the Acts passage in the First Nations version. Listen for the word of God as I read. With one heart and mind, all who trusted in Creator sets free shared their possessions with each other. No one claimed their belongings to be only for themselves. With great power, the message bearers told the story of how their honored chief, Creator sets free, had defeated death and returned to life. Listen to this. Creator's gift of great kindness was covering all of them like a warm blanket. And no one among them was in need. Those who owned houses or land sold them and brought what they had gained and gave it to the message bearers to share with everyone. Those who had been with Jesus knew that everything had to be different now. Everything. Back to Dahlonega. Back to a little Cherokee boy finding gold. It's more, my friends, it's more than a cautionary tale. It happened. Believe it or not, our Acts passage causes controversy. But I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this with every drop of pathos I can muster. So many heinous things have been perpetrated in the name of protecting the economy. Slavery was defended because what will happen to the economy if we do anything about it? 46,000 plus Indians were removed. What will happen to the economy if we can't get to this gold? My friends, genocides are committed in the defense of the economy. No one is ever going to look you in the face and say, look, all I care about is money and power and possessions, and I'm willing to kill every man, woman, and child to get it. No one has ever said that. No one ever will say that. They will say other things. And they continue to say other things. But we've been with Jesus. We have been invited to a different reality. And I'm going to close with words from Jesus, from the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. Hear the words of our crucified, risen, ascended, and reigning Lord. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love one another. Who is your other? I'm thinking of mine. Who is your other? Who's the one that drives you crazy? Who's the one that makes you angry and have conversations in your own head? Who's the one that when they come into your head, you go, I hate that. And you don't stop yourself. Yeah, me too. Child of God. Child of God. Loved by God. Jesus died for them. We are meant to be one reality. One humanity. Here, each for the other, with the life of Christ flowing in and out of us. In a holy symbiosis. It's so much. But it's true. Jesus is Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
If you would like more information or ways to be a part of Luminous, please go to luminousanglican.com. Peace be with you.